Alaska exports many of its fishery products to Japan. King crab, tanner crab, herring, herring roe, salmon, and salmon roe are commonly available in Japanese restaurants, although they are all luxury food items. This demand supports extensive commercial fisheries, which are important to Alaska's economy. But the most expensive seafood specialty in Japan, that also commonly occurs in Alaska, is not harvested. Did you know that? I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. The roe of the medium-sized green-collared sea urchin is the most expensive seafood item in Japan. These sea urchins are captured by Japanese fishermen in small boats utilizing long-handled nets. The fisherman receives about $8 American for 30 ripe sea urchins. Currently, demand exceeds supply, and sea urchin products are imported to Japan from Mexico and California. Alaska has areas where sea urchins are common, and in the future it is likely that a commercial fishery for these spiny creatures will develop. The sea urchins will probably be harvested by divers, and the fresh roe could be air freighted to Japanese fish markets daily. Alaska's sea urchin lives along the rocky shores and feeds primarily on seaweeds. They are found from intertidal depths to over 40 fathoms. Their gonads are the part of the body that is eaten, and the gonads are at their best from late winter until they spawn sometime in the spring. Obviously, harvesting sea urchins will be cold work, requiring stamina typical of an Alaskan abalone diver. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. The aurora, northern lights, dancing colors across a polar night sky. We enjoy it, wonder about it. Scientists at the Geophysical Institute of the University of Alaska Fairbanks are close to being able to predict its occurrence. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. You might ask, why try to predict the aurora? Why not just enjoy it as it swirls miles above us? Unfortunately, in today's technologically complicated and dangerous world, predicting the aurora will be increasingly important. At latitudes above 70 degrees, disturbances associated with auroral displays can cause severe and sometimes total interruption of radio communications. During intense auroral storms, electric currents induced in the ground can become very large and produce damage or failure in communication and power systems. In the auroral zone, induced currents in pipelines can affect pipeline control electronics. Infrared and ultraviolet sensors used by military detection satellites can easily be confused by the aurora. The ability to forecast auroral events will not enable man to control their occurrence, just as the forecast of a rainstorm does not prevent a flood. But such prediction is important to the prevention of serious problems in high-latitude communication and defense systems. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Clams, crab, and other shellfish. Most of us enjoy eating them, and some of us can't wait to dig or catch our own. But from time to time, the shellfish are highly toxic. Did you know that? I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Scientists at the Institute of Marine Science of the University of Alaska Fairbanks have isolated 12 different toxins whose composition varies by region. They can kill by causing respiratory paralysis. Artificial respiration can usually save the victim, who can recover within a day. This threat of poisoning has seriously limited the development of both commercial and sport fisheries for clams and other bivalves in Alaska. The Institute of Marine Science has grown laboratory cultures of the microscopic plants that are the source of the toxin. These cultures have come from as far west as the Aleutians to southeast Alaska. Findings so far indicate that the composition of the toxin produced by the organisms varies from region to region. As a result, management of the problem will differ from one region to the next, since it depends on the specific kinds of toxin involved. For example, how soon toxic shellfish will become safe to eat will vary by area. Mapping the boundaries of each region is underway as IMS continues its culture studies. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM. The Alaskan pink shrimp, which is the small shrimp often used in shrimp cocktails, has a very complicated life cycle. It requires approximately 3 years of growth for pink shrimp to reach a body length of 4 inches. Did you know that? I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Marine Science study the pink shrimp to determine the relationship between growth and development in ocean conditions. The egg stage of the pink shrimp occupies 6 months, and upon hatching in the spring, the young shrimp are only 3/16 of an inch long. The process of growth for these shrimp consists of casting off the hard outer shell and forming a new shell. This process is called molting, and during the first few months of their lives, the young shrimp molt 6 to 9 times. The pink shrimp start life first as males and keep their male gender until about 4 years of age. They then go through several molts and transform into females. The females are the oldest and largest shrimp in the population. The lifespan of the pink shrimp is nearly 6 years. Because the young males are too small to process economically, the fishery concentrates on harvesting female shrimp, and only a few of the largest males are harvested. These shrimp are harvested with nets called trawls, which are towed behind a boat. Alaska's annual harvest is between 50 million and 100 million pounds a year. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Over the past decade, harvests of commercially important finfish in the eastern Bering Sea have declined. While in the past these declines have been blamed on competition from seals, new research suggests that the seals aren't necessarily the culprits. Did you know that? I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That. Scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Institute of Marine Science have been studying seal energy requirements to build an effective management program for marine mammals in Alaska. Early findings challenge a National Marine Fisheries Service estimate that the consumption of finfish by the Pacific Harbor seal and spotted seal is 650,000 metric tons. The IMS researchers studied captive harbor and spotted seals ranging in age from pups to adult. The seals were fed the much sought-after walleye pollock and Pacific herring. Energy requirements were estimated for each seal species and then applied to a population of wild seals. The scientists estimated overall energy cost of living for seals to determine the weight of fish consumed annually by the seals in metric tons. The IMS study revealed that about 171,000 metric tons of finfish are taken annually by harbor and spotted seals in the eastern Bering Sea. That figure is 75% lower than previous estimates. I'm Karen Sedzo, and I Didn't Know That was produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.